The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
The first taste of rare bourbon you finally got your hands on. That's nice. At Caskers.com, we make this experience easy. Caskers is a one-stop spirit curator with an impressive selection of exclusive, sought-after, rare, and household names in the realm of premium spirits and champagne. Discover the top flavors of the year now by going to Caskers.com and using code WELCOME10 for $10 off your first purchase. Get $10 off your first purchase with code WELCOME10 at Caskers.com.
Be advised, mature content ahead. This podcast is brought to you ad-free thanks to the Legion of Demons at patreon.com/notlp. If you like what you hear, there's much more at patreon.com/notlp. Join the Legion. That's patreon.com/notlp. And now the show.
How do you do?
Just a word of friendly warning. I think it will thrill you. It may shock you. It might even horrify you. So if any of you feel that you do not care to subject your nerves to such a strain, now is your chance to, we warn you.
Welcome to Night of the Living Podcast. I'm Freddie.
Oh my God.
That's Kelly. That's Amy going, woo.
Hi there.
Andy is here.
Woo.
This is our weird science theme, and we will be discussing the 2013 remake of Patrick later for our main attraction that was selected by our listener, Iona Goodwin.
Good choice.
National Pride, Australian, sending us an Australian movie. And before that, Amy will review Sweetheart.
Sweetheart.
Straight to video Russian roulette.
This is all true.
Thank you for, if you're a patron, thank you so much. We've seen a lot of support on Patreon, patreon.com/notlp. Thank you, Monica, for becoming a Beelzebub.
That's my girl.
Thank you.
And thank you to Brian for increasing his pledge. And
thank you.
We have hot new merchandising news. If you go to patreon.com/notlp, we're working with Patreon now to fulfill our merchandise as an experiment, see how it goes.
Hot gosh.
Obviously, if we're not happy with how that works, we'll go back to the way things were. But this will free us up to do more
On the couch and
more
watching Star
laying
Trek.
On the couch. So we won't have to worry because it's become apparently quite a challenge to get our stuff out.
You want to go ahead and kiss my ass, Freddie?
Amy's just like, she can't make it out the post office. She can't stay on her microphone.
You are not my dad.
She's a mess.
I don't care if it is Father's Day. Happy Father's Day, Kelly.
Yeah. Oh, thank you. Thank you very much. Happy Father's Day to all the daddies.
Freddie's a father. He's a dog dad.
I'm a dog dad.
Yeah. You're a dog dad, Andy.
Yeah. Happy Dog Father's Day.
Dog Fathers.
And it's exactly the same as raising a child.
I'm going to get you Dog Father's pizza for dinner, you guys.
Oh, it's got liver snaps on it.
Sausages.
It's our 17th wedding anniversary today.
Oh, that's true. Yeah.
Happy anniversary.
Thank you.
I am happy to be married to you, Freddie.
I am happy to marry to you, Amy.
Oh, that's so romantic,
isn't it?
That's all you can really ask for. Just be happy with each other.
I'm happy.
I'd love to see that on a Hallmark card. I enjoy our marriage.
Our marriage is sufficient. We watched a lot of Star Trek together. Now. What else could you want?
Yeah.
We've gone through the original series of Star Trek, Next Gen, yes. Deep Space Nine.
Yes.
We just finished Voyager.
I am sad.
And we were talking about this before the show. Like, our friend Jefferson from Beyond Trek podcast was like, yeah, Enterprise is pretty good except for that song. And I'm like, oh, I don't know what he means. Right. Cause I've never seen it. And in all the original series, they have these orchestra pieces that open them, these cinematic themes. And we started Enterprise and we were shocked.
I was embarrassed.
I felt like I was being Rickrolled.
You were shocked by the 9/11 tribute video that they use as the intro to every episode.
Oh, you know what? Maybe. This aired, the premiere aired 2 weeks after 9/11.
There you go.
I didn't connect that until you said it.
It's just, okay, 9/11 aside. Never forget.
I bet you're right. I bet you that it was probably a byproduct of nine. I bet you they probably had
patriotism. Yeah. And patriotism can only mean bad music, right?
That's usually what it looked like to me. That's what it reminded me of. Yeah. All those, like, you know, montages and stuff.
What a difficult time for this country.
Yeah.
We had September 11th.
And then this theme song came out.
And
then themed Enterprise.
I highly recommend anybody listening that doesn't know what we're talking about, just Google it.
It's on YouTube. You can just watch the intro.
But you know what? I liked it in a campy, stupid way.
You would.
It's what I was telling you, Andy. It reminds me of the music they play in the American and the Canadian pavilions at Epcot Center in Disney World.
It felt, if you like the 80s or the, like, you know, mid 90s music, very inspirational. You know, go for it attitude.
You mean like creamy white, dreamy white.
I just remember when, like, we had hope in this country.
Yeah.
Yeah. We don't have that anymore.
It was as subtle as an American pie slammed into your face with a baseball bat.
And there's nothing wrong with that. Sometimes you need saccharine patriotism.
Yeah.
The idea of the promise of America is a good thing.
I'll tell you, if I make it through...
In practice, it hasn't worked out great, but...
If I watch 4 seasons of this and I manage to... If that song somehow...
No.
I never thought I would like that, the Canadian Pavilion song, but I listen... That is a great song.
Canada.
Is it a great song? No. I associated it with being happy at Disney World.
Yeah.
And it insinuated itself.
Like, we all have that terrible thing that is connected with a good time in our lives.
Yeah.
A terrible song or something.
Yeah.
There are people out there that are like, oh man, at my wedding, we danced to Trains, Drops of Jupiter, or something.
Or the themed Enterprise.
Or the themed Enterprise.
Oof. I feel like your microphone needs to match your mouth, Amy.
I think you need to...
It's trying to get away from you.
Well, maybe I have bad breath. I haven't brushed my teeth
yet. Brush your teeth, girl.
I haven't done it yet. Busy gal on the move.
It could have just been my hearing, too. My hearing is going.
Well...
Speaking of bad hearing, we were just talking about that Tales from the Crypt episode we watched. Our Patreon meetup we did Thursday. Pretty fun old episode with Sam Kinison's voice. Yeah, Katie Sagal. What a fun show. I can't wait for that's coming back. And that's pretty cool.
When we talked about it, I can't remember. Where is it coming back to?
HBO's, I believe. Yeah. It's M. Night Shyamalan, right? Was involved in that. But... John Cassier, the original voice of the Crypt Keeper, turned up in one of the last episodes of Enterprise.
No, Voyager.
I mean, Voyager.
Sorry,
that we watched.
Guys. It's a lot of Star Trek. Because that's, you know, what else am I doing right now?
It was pretty fun. He was a character named Gar. It was really neat.
Yeah.
He's fun.
He's a fun guy.
Freddie messaged him and was like, we just saw you on Voyager. And he said that, oh, wow, Gar.
Yeah, he was really excited because he remembered it very fondly, which I think is true of most people that work on Star Trek. They all seem to really enjoy it and come back for more. It fills my heart with joy.
Well, that's really nice that he responded to you and not like, who dis?
No, he's a super nice guy. He's good at either remembering people or faking it. And I appreciate either one.
Do you remember that horror hound? Who was with us at the table?
Where he got stranded. We were trying to get him right at the airport.
I was right there. He was waiting for his plane.
Yeah.
He was sweating bullets.
He was stuck with us. Like, I don't know why we were in charge of babysitting him. he didn't know either.
Aaron.
Yeah.
But he was clearly nervous to get his ride, but I was like, hi, how are you? How's your day? I hope you get to the airport.
I was like, he's going to, from now on, he'll remember me because I'm the guy who was there when he missed his flight. I don't want that association.
Right.
That's not the way you want people to associate you with the time that they missed their flight. That's bad.
I missed my flight this Monday.
Well, yeah, we were supposed to be in California right now.
I should be coming home from Disneyland broke and hungover and happy.
Well, you're one of those things. Two of those things. Maybe three. We're broke and hungover.
Oh, okay. How are you guys doing? Kelly wants his hand job.
Yeah. I mean, it was promised. Mm-hmm. And, well, you know.
Who doesn't?
I'm fine. I'm good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Doing the usual stuff.
Yeah. We don't have new adventures anymore, people. What do you want us to do? What do you want us to talk about?
That's
sometimes I do, but not today.
Oh, yeah, somebody. What, Andy?
That's why we talk about Star Trek all the time, because there's nothing else to do.
I got nothing else.
Yeah.
My mom was standing in line at Kroger, and a young man behind her with no mask on sneezed on her. Like, and then she yelled at him, and he got an attitude.
Like droplets hit her?
I think he was just close. He wasn't 6 feet away from her.
Mary Ellen said, "Are you fucking serious?"
That's what she said to him.
What did he say back to her?
I don't remember, but I think he got an attitude. And listen, pal.
He would not have wanted to do that with me.
I will fucking destroy you if my mother gets sick.
We'll find you.
You goddamn fucking piece of shit. Put a goddamn mask on.
We did spend a lot of yesterday singing karaoke in our lounge. That was fun.
What are your go-to songs?
Oh, we have a bunch. Elise likes to sing Bird on a Wire. And
the themed Enterprise.
I think that's the song. And then she likes Blue Bayou.
Oh, yeah. I love that. So the Roy Orbison song?
No, the Linda Ronstadt.
Linda Ronstadt.
Oh, okay. And
I have a bunch. I like
Drops of Jupiter.
Mm-hmm. No, but I do like Brand New Key. I sing Brand New Key quite a bit.
Melanie?
Yeah.
Got that one right.
Yeah. Oh, and Baby One More Time. Under the Bridge. Under the Bridge is one of my go-tos because I fucking bring the house down.
Mm-hmm. Kill it.
Your house is falling down.
Cats go crazy.
It's crumbled. But
yeah, what do the cats think?
They love it. They sit up there on our little lounge couch. Aww. And they lounge.
You got a little audience.
Yeah, it's awesome. They
You tape lighters to their hands? Their paws. Mm-hmm. They don't have hands.
We always tape things to our cats' paws, so it looks like they're little people.
Amy and I made a pizza dough together yesterday. Uh-huh. We'll know how it is pizza Tuesday. Dough. Yeah, I made pizza. I learned to make pizza a couple of weeks ago, but I didn't make real pizza dough. I used like a quick recipe that I was not a big fan of. And this time we made New York style pizza dough. We'll see how it goes. But we got balls of dough. You. Yeah, I'm excited. I shared all like anybody would give a shit. I texted everybody like, guys,
this is what we have to talk about now.
Amy and I made pizza dough, and then we made our own sauce too.
Yeah, it's exciting.
Pizza is one of the best things in the whole wide world.
It's fun.
Yeah,
I had Totino's last night.
Fucking love Totino's.
Gotta love a Totino's party pizza.
Yeah, so
that tells you how my life is going.
Was that a meal?
Yeah.
Yeah,
I'll tell you. Yeah, it is.
I don't mind. I love Totino's, but there's something really sad about it having on a Saturday night.
Yeah,
there's something real sad about the fact that it's one of the few foods that actually leaches nutrients out of your body instead of replacing them.
I remember when you guys went to WonderCon. What was that, last year?
Yeah.
And I stayed home, and I was like, okay, I'm gonna have to feed myself because normally Freddie cooks and all that.
Yeah.
And I'm not good at taking care of myself. So the first thing I did was went to Kroger and got a Totino's party pizza. And I'm so excited to make it for myself.
But you know what? I don't like how they're rectangles now. Remember, they used to be round.
No, they've always been rectangles.
No, they were round.
They were round.
I think you could get both. I think you're both right. Please don't fight. No, Please don't fight.
Here's the thing. Freddie is right because Totino's makes the school pizzas. We actually, a million years ago, had Googled how to get school style pizzas, and Totino's does make them. So technically, they do have rectangular pizzas, but the party pizzas are round.
Yeah, they used to be round, but now they're this weird rectangle shape.
Or, I mean, I guess they're rectangles.
I think that's what they used.
They're just not as enjoyable.
They used to use those at like the roller rink too, right?
Mm-hmm. Good shit, bro.
They, I love the crust is like, it's like saltine crackers almost.
Well, yeah. Shit, I'm looking
it's
at
bubbly.
I'm looking at images, and you're right; they were at one time round.
Actually, what's great is the keto pizza that we make is kind of a similar, like it kind of has a the crust kind of has like a crackery. It's kind of like that.
That's good. I always like the pepperoni on the Totino's pizza. The little cubes of pepperoni.
Little cubes. Mm-hmm.
I went to get one time.
Greasy.
And it had like pepperoni slices on it, and it wasn't as good.
No,
you only get pepperoni slices on the Tony's pizza.
Yeah,
and is that the grown up Totino's? Is Totino's the child version of a Tony's pizza?
It's the diminutive.
But you know how the Tony's with the round pepperoni, they turn into little cups when they cook.
Yes. I hate that. No, because they get the grease in them.
And it's too much grease.
I love the curled up pepperoni. Yes. It's one of my favorite.
You like it when your pepperoni
things.
Curls up?
Dewey's pizza does that. It's a local chain. Are they local? Yeah. Are they national?
I think Dewey's is national.
Oh, whatever.
I think.
Oh, I love our white trash pizza talk.
White trash pizza.
Now, to be fair, I don't eat Totino's party pizzas anymore, so I am a.
You eat Totino's
better.
Business pizzas?
That's right. In the front.
There's pizza for every occasion. You got funeral pizzas?
What?
Oh, boy.
Gosh, you guys. I mean, we're not really leaving our homes. We're not traveling. We're not doing anything. We're just trying to not fall into despair.
Yeah.
So this is what
we're just trying to survive.
Yeah. To be fair, I'm okay.
Of course you are.
I'm okay.
Kelly was built for this.
Normally anyway, so.
Yeah.
I mean, as long as I have my Totino's, I'm fine.
Honestly, I fucking want a Totino's right now.
Oh.
Can we pause?
It is our anniversary.
And just because I don't eat them, don't get me wrong, I appreciate a Totino's party pizza. They're so crispy.
Is the 17th anniversary the Totino's party pizza anniversary?
It's the cubed pepperoni.
They are the worst. They are probably...
Just shut up!
Amy, you're picking those cubes out of your vag tomorrow.
Oh.
You're going to have that kind of anniversary party. You're like, you want that kind of anniversary, baby?
Ew.
We're going to party pizza.
Oh, boy.
I'm going to wake up like, I don't even know what happened last night, but I got cheese in my hair.
You go get yourself some Budweiser and some Totino's.
Budweiser seltzer.
I feel like people would get like a 2 liter of Pepsi to wash down their Totino's.
No, not RC. Not even Pepsi. It's RC.
I do love RC. That was one of my favorite colas of all time.
I'm serving a Totino's pizza party reduction and an RC sauce with a side of Cool Ranch Doritos.
That's a weird chop basket.
Yeah.
That actually sounds like a real chop basket.
Yeah.
I guess I'm just going to use the Doritos, I don't know, for breading. I'm in a panic.
So what's for dessert in this white trash feast?
Oh, definitely Twinkies.
Twinkies
served straight up.
Those Swiss cake rolls.
If you want to get fancy, you honey warm buns. Up some strawberry jam and pour it over the Twinkies.
No.
Yeah.
No, chop.
Dip them in Hershey syrup.
Yeah, Hershey syrup.
You do that plating thing where you sling stuff back and forth so you get a crazy like wiggle line all over your plate. I don't know what they call that.
A wiggle line,
a splat.
Wiggle, 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 wiggle line.
A couple of splats and some Jackson Pollocky stuff.
Yeah. White trash, baby.
Well, speaking of white trash, every time somebody mentions Twinkies, I think about that urban legend of the obese couple that hid food in their bodies.
Oh, yeah.
And it grew into her.
Yeah. It's not that they deliberately hid them, right? It was just stuff would get lost in their folds because they were just laying around and eating.
No, the way I heard it, it was like a game.
Oh, that
they would hide food. She would hide food in her folds, and he would have to find it. But they forgot about Twinkie, and it skin grew over it.
Yeah, I don't know how that would happen, but
it has to be true,
right?
It does have to be true. I mean,
who would make that up?
Scientific facts aside, I mean, you heard quite a good scene, isn't it? That knew that.
One man crazy, three very sane spectators.
I don't get it.
That's the science of Twinkie hiding. It's a mad kind of science.
Okay.
Did they do that on Mythbusters?
They should have.
Oh, like Jamie Heineman had to put on 100 pounds and then stuff Twinkies under his fat rolls. Gary Byron had to go in there and try to eat them.
Well, cool. Awesome. We're ready to move on?
Yeah. I think so.
Let's do it.
Let's do it.
Hello, boys and girls. It's time for Straight to Video Russian Roulette.
Sweetheart.
That was basically just noises.
Yeah. Yeah. It's in the trailer, you get some blurbs, some sounds. You see your main character swimming in the ocean and finding this hole in the floor of the ocean. It's very creepy.
Oh, is this your review? I didn't realize
No, I was reviewing the trailer.
I just didn't realize that this was Freddy's time to speak.
Do you remember that? I was assigned the trailer review.
Okay.
By our editors.
Sweetheart. So this was recommended by Big Tall Charlie. I know he has a real name, but that's forever his name. And Fozzie. And I know he has a real name, and it's Fozzie. It's on Netflix. I think it's a recommend, so I'm not going to say too much about it. But it's kind of one of those. It's one of those.
That seems very lukewarm, your review.
Well, it's not a perfect movie by any stretch of the imagination, but I think it's a lot of fun. So our protagonist... She washes up on a beach with another person. They're wearing life jackets. So you kind of get this impression that they were probably on a ship that, you know, sank.
Like they do.
Like they do. Mm-hmm. And she's on this deserted, you know, tropical island. And she's, you know, got another shipmate with her, but that person quickly dies.
More like a shitmate.
You know, this guy.
Oh, you.
So she's got a... kind of figure some shit out. So she sets about to survive, you know, on this island and kind of figure out what she can do to keep herself alive. And you find out, you know, at a couple of nights that there's some sort of monster that's coming up out of the ocean and stalking prey on the island. And she's trying to survive against now, you know, not just the elements, and not just a yeast infection from wearing the same bathing suit for days and days and days.
She changes.
I know, I'm kidding. But it was something I thought about at first. I'm like, girl, you better get out of that. But this monster that's also stalking.
Great monster reveal.
I was going to ask about that.
Really
how the
good,
monster was.
Yeah.
Great shots. Good direction.
Yeah.
Cinematography.
Can we at least spoil how they reveal the monster? Or is that too much?
You mean where he's kind of...
Well, is that too much? Is that...
It's a great shot
I feel like we have to address it. She has a flare. Yeah. There's a plane that goes overhead, and it's the middle of the night. And she gets the flare gun, and she fires it off. And she's looking up at the sky, and the flare finally goes off. And she sees it come down onto the horizon where the ocean is. And as it meets the water, the backlight of the flare... illuminates the silhouette of this
really cool.
giant like creature from the Black Lagoon shape coming up out of the ocean, and then the flare goes out. It's like a awesome tease. It gave me chills.
Oh, it's fantastic. I think what I enjoyed a lot of about this movie is, you know, it's not, at first I was like, I'm not sure how I feel about just watching one person trying to survive on an island for an hour and a half. But the actress is really good and the pacing's really good.
The character's a badass, but they never really give you her backstory.
No, you don't really
why.
Get much about her. You get a little bit there in the middle. But I was very impressed with her wherewithal. What would I fucking do if I was stranded? Like, she figured out how to start a fire. She gets herself food.
She watched a lot of Naked and Afraid, probably.
Apparently. Because I would be a mess.
Yeah.
What were the negatives?
I would say there's some parts in the middle with some other, I don't want to say anything.
The second act is when it begins to kind of become vanilla.
I wasn't so sure about some of the story choices and character motivations in the middle, but I still think that this movie's worth your time.
It doesn't really have like a B line. It really could have used a B story to spice it up. But in the fact that it was like super simple was also kind of cool. It reminded me a lot of like Predator.
Yeah.
I think that if you like a simple creature feature, I think it's a good bet.
No, I think it was a hell. I mean, I don't think it had much of a budget. I thought they did a great job.
Did the monster look good?
I thought so.
There's a few close ups where I was like, but that's just me. Freddie liked it more than I did. So
they did a good
it's
job
a subjective
of
thing.
They did it was from the Jaws school for the most part of giving you little tastes throughout. Which if you like that, it leaves I like that this movie left a lot to your imagination, and didn't feed you a bunch of unnecessary exposition or backstory. Again, though, on the flip side of that is without all that, sometimes it can feel thin because there isn't a beeline at all.
I'm making a beeline to Netflix to watch this movie.
Yeah, I think you'll like it, Kelly.
Yeah. So there you go, Sweet Hat.
The hole in the bottom of the ocean part gave me chills,
I don't like the ocean. I like all it, Earth. But I don't like it.
That thalassophobia or whatever they call it? Thalassophobia?
Like, she's looking underwater and she sees this just big hole and it's like sucking things into it. And I'm like, nah, brah.
It looked real, too.
Ugh. It was Courtney Love.
Yeah. They were like, live through this.
Yeah.
Ooh, Zawo.
The creature was just a mass of doll parts.
Yeah, like...
also Zawo.
It had a heroin addiction.
I'm just terrified of deep ocean.
It killed
water.
Its husband.
That it did. That's the only thing we know about it for sure.
A talentless murderer. That hole.
Yes.
All right. So let's get a cranking.
Do you think when she went to look for that Malaysian flight, she turned into the sea monster?
That's what it was.
It all comes full circle.
Are we ever going to find that?
Mm.
Courtney Love already did.
Yeah. Don't you remember?
No.
So thank you, Court.
I mean, I think that, like, let's just 2 seconds for me to just, I both, and I understand that this is ghoulish, love that story. This idea of this plane just fucking went down and nobody knows where it ended up. I understand that's ghoulish. Those are people's family members.
You don't have to say love that story. I think you're intrigued by it.
Terribly intrigued by it.
You're not like, I love, you don't love
that's how much
that.
He loves it.
She's saying the level of intrigue she feels like love.
Yes.
She can't tell the difference. She doesn't know what love is. She's like Forrest Gump.
I want to know what love is.
She wants to know what love is.
Yes, Kelly. All right. Let's crank this Jack in the Box and see who's up next.
Jack it.
We're going to start with Freddie Morris.
All right.
Love of my life. Husband of 17 years.
But he just reviewed this movie.
I know, right? Isn't that interesting?
I did say too much, didn't I? Can't keep my mouth shut.
Guess what, pal?
I need to shuffle those things.
I do shuffle them. There's only three.
I just shouldn't lose.
You shouldn't lose?
I'm too important.
All right. This film?
Well, thanks a lot, Freddie.
Oh, I know. I'm too important.
Which is trash.
You guys are garbage people.
We got a Shudder exclusive.
Let me guess. Is it that one that just came out?
I don't know.
Wait. I saw one and I was like, I bet this is going to be our next.
I'm sure you're saying the same video. Thing, but now I want to see if you are. Scare Package.
Yes!
No. I like the name.
I don't know. So this is an anthology movie.
Yes.
Here's the description. No. Chad, the owner of Rad Chad's Horror Emporium, recounts a series of bone-chilling, blood-splattered tales to illustrate the rules of the horror genre to his newest employee.
Uh-huh.
Scare Package.
I don't think that was the one I saw, because the one I saw, I was like, I don't know how this looks.
Well,
but I thought Scare Package looked fun, so maybe it wasn't what I was thinking.
Yeah, it's got Noah Segan
and
Chase Williamson, who are like the horror dudes.
Kelly, you were thinking of Special Deal Evilry.
Yes, that's what I was thinking of.
Is that real?
No, I just made
it up. Oh, good God. Oh, it probably exists.
Probably. Okay, so I'll be watching Scare Package.
Scare Package.
We'll be back with our main attraction after we are scared by our packages. The main attraction.
Doing remarkable things here. Are you ready to do remarkable things, Ms. Jacquard?
Yes. Yes, I am. People end up down here because they're pretty much forgotten. He's Roger's special project. Patrick, Kathy, Patrick. This patient cannot possibly give consent.
So I give consent on his behalf. I'll make hiding in there worse than being ripped out.
Patrick, can you hear me? I was communicating with him.
It signifies nothing.
You felt that, didn't you? The only thing more dangerous than his hate is his love.
I can't give up now. I'm this close.
He has been sent to punish us. I'm not yours, Patrick. I never will be. Yeah, I'm okay.
The only thing more dangerous than his hate is his telekinetic ability to crush you with an elevator.
Or make you do anything he wants except to give you him a hand job. He can't use his power to do that somehow, but he can make anything else happen in the world.
This patient can't possibly give consent.
Give me that dick!
That trailer just gave the whole movie away.
It's fine.
I mean, it's pretty basic.
A friendly reminder to anybody ever chosen to select a movie for our theme months. I'm not asking you to give me something good. And you have to also recognize that this movie was bad shit.
I love this movie. You didn't like this?
I liked it, but it was fucking bad shit.
I liked
it. That's what I loved about
confused
it. It was so schlocky,
the whole
but,
time.
Yeah. But super dark.
It's very. I felt like it was dark, yes. Like. But it had a camp value that was it was an interesting blend of like super camp.
Agreed.
And like very dark, which is it was kind of fun.
Yeah, it worked for me.
Like I can't say that this is a good movie.
No.
But it's entertaining AF.
I'll put the Kelly Comberink good movie stamp on it.
Wow, that's high
praise. God damn it.
It really is.
I thought it was a good movie.
Well, shit, bro.
There's problems.
Yeah.
But I think the whole, it feels good on the whole.
We're here to do extraordinary things.
It
do
was
you
nice.
Like to do extraordinary things?
I like
yourself?
That Shardy Vinson was in it.
Yeah, and Rachel Griffiths, I think, gave the best performance in the movie.
And Tywin Lannister.
Tywin Lannister.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
What'd you say, Andy?
He said Stewie's mom.
Stewie's mom.
That is
incorrect.
What is her name again?
Lois.
Lois, yes.
Griffin.
Rachel Griffiths is great. Remember that show where they were at a summer camp that was on for a while, where she owned the camp?
Yeah.
It was really good.
I liked that show.
Yeah.
It was Australian, I think.
Yep. It was also Australian.
So, yeah.
So, what this is like, Patrick takes place. Roger has this institute, which is just an old nunnery, right?
Yeah.
That is in this poor part of this coastal area in Australia, where it's, I guess, trash people for the most part. Because they even kind of say, like, I guess Sharni Vinson is getting divorced from her husband, and he's some muckety muck. And,
yes.
And he came to try to patch up the relationship. He's like, I'm surprised you came down here to garbage people town.
Their relationship is one of my problem areas.
The husband and the wife.
Mine's my love handles.
It's like, why would they even bother with that?
Well, that
was one of the many threads that didn't go anywhere that were unnecessary.
Well, yeah, her, like, she basically gives up her whole argument as soon as he just says, come on.
Yeah. Well, our marriage is fixed. Come on.
You know, if you're going to date Sharni Vinson in this movie, you got to make sure you keep an eye on your hands.
Yes.
Because you're going to get injured badly.
Patrick hates hands.
He hates hands.
Unless they're on his dick.
He's like, catch me with them hands.
She meets her new partner who at the job, who's the other young nurse who is fun and the only fun person in this entire
world
town. Yeah. Did she remind you of Rashida Jones?
Yeah.
Did you guys see that too? Yeah. She tries to set Sharni Vinson, I can't remember her character's name, up with this hot doctor character.
Kathy. That's her name.
It is Kathy.
Because everybody in Australia is named Kath. Have you ever noticed that?
Iona's not named
Kath. Kath or Kim.
Yeah. Really. I feel like Kath is such a Australian and or British like.
Everyone name. Is named either
it's their
Master
Karen.
Blaster.
It's their Karen.
Or Max.
Or Mel.
Or Mel.
Crocodile Dundee.
Furiosa.
Steve Irwin. <Barbie. laughs> Shrimp.
Shrimp. Yeah. So she is a kind of intrigued by Patrick in room 15. They just call him 15. He's separate from the other patients. All of them are coma patients.
No, like traumatic brain. They're vegetative.
Is that different?
Terry Schiavo's. Well, traumatic brain injuries. I mean, it's not a coma. They're not. Okay.
It's not
a
coma.
They're simply dead, not.
Yeah.
Yeah. Their brain, higher brain function is gone.
And there's one guy who's just this old man that the doctor gave a lighthouse to just to keep him busy, because he was burned really badly in an electrical fire. And he goes, "You know what'll help? A lighthouse. Ask your doctor if a lighthouse is right for you."
I have moderate to severe fog on the coastline.
Well, I felt that character was just thrown in just so he could be tied into the ending.
Yeah.
I thought that he was being controlled by Patrick to shine light on him, and the story that was given was not what was really happening.
Oh. Okay.
That's deep, Kelly.
Yeah.
I want to hear Kelly's synopsis now.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's the same. I mean, I just think that you meet the character where they say this guy, the doctor woke him up and he's our athlete. He runs out every night to turn the lights on, and he shines the light. There's a few shots of them like shining it on Patrick's face. And I just later I was like, oh, I bet he controls that guy, because he can control a lot of the coma patients and other just people. Spoiler alert. Patrick, you know, uses his mind to control things. And so I just figured that they didn't realize he was controlling that guy.
So why would Patrick want to have light shown on his face all the time?
Maybe he sometimes it's nice to not be in the dark.
You think he just wanted to see if there was something in his teeth?
So, yes. Creepy old place, isolated, full of patients with no higher brain function, but some of them spit.
Mm-hmm.
Other than Patrick?
And, well, I think somebody else did, didn't they? Doesn't matter. But Here's a question. Why do all of these patients have to lay in their bed with no shirt on?
It's Australia. It's hot down there.
I think part of it is just out of a kind of laziness that the staff, in order, they don't want to screw with taking their shirts off to apply new leads to them for the readings and stuff.
Like men, that, women, they're all just laying there in shorts.
Yeah, because I was
Again, it doesn't look air conditioned in that building.
Yeah, I guess you're right.
I think it's also just for the visual too.
Of the like you can see wasted, like skinny torsos and then floppy boobies.
Yeah. Thanks for not old titty shaming.
Thank you.
We've grown.
No, I my titties are starting to creep under my armpits, but what are you gonna do?
I love all titties.
It's called gravity and time.
Nothing.
All titties matter.
All titties matter. Oh God. Yeah, so where were we? Things start to get creepy because Kath is like super into hot young Patrick.
Patrick has a big schwanz from one. There's
when me and Elise are watching this and they show that side shot and I was like, whoa, is that his dick?
I know. I said the same thing to Amy and I think it was just a fold in his boxers. But
that's what Elise said. She said, I think it's just the blanket or something.
They should have noticed.
Yeah, it looked like a big old dick though.
But then they kept showing. There was a shot where you're like, no, he does have quite the bulge.
Well, and then she's like, not too long after that shot.
Yeah, she went
she
from,
goes for it.
She went from zero to dick real quick.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
And she was all about like you can't. I mean, patient can't maybe, give you consent, but I'm gonna grab his wiener and I'm gonna jerk it. She didn't.
I mean,
it,
maybe she was being controlled by Patrick in a little bit, in a sense.
Oh, I didn't even thought about that.
I didn't think so. Either. Not yet.
Not yet. It wasn't
until she was ever really being controlled by Patrick. He wanted her.
Yeah.
Yeah, but at the same time, I was like, damn, she didn't. Beat around the bush.
I think the conceit was that she was really trying to see if he was reacting to, you know, real stimuli.
I mean,
she's like,
she
doctor,
took a little further than, you know, maybe necessary, but
maybe.
Who's been manscaping this patient?
I mean, granted, he is a nice looking bloke, but at the same time, you just don't fondle somebody without their consent.
He looks like Archie Andrews.
It was a weird way of like, if this is your main character and this is who you're supposed to root for throughout the movie, I was like, girl, don't do that. That's not cool. Like, she seemed very empathetic towards the patients, more so than her counterpart.
Yeah.
And then she does this and you're just,
well, to be fair, I don't think it was out of, I don't think we were supposed to think she was doing it to for her own sexual gratification.
It was still inappropriate.
It was out of,
well,
out
she's
of whimsy.
A medical professional.
Still inappropriate.
She's his nurse. She didn't jerk him. She just touched it. But, I mean, doctors touch your body all the time.
No, but leading up to it, they kept remarking how beautiful he was.
They called him pristine.
Yeah, pristine.
Like, well, everybody else had been wasting away in their various vegetative states, but he was still like plump and juicy.
You'll notice that his penis tastes different than the other patients.
So did we talk about the very beginning with the other nurse that she's replacing?
No, we did not.
Yeah,
the scene
cold
where
open or whatever you
want
to call it.
Like the cold open of the movie, and it's this blonde nurse and she's alone at night apparently in this, you know, hospital place, and she goes into the basement and she's taking pictures again. I think, not again, I haven't mentioned this yet, but Apple for sure sponsored this movie.
Oh, because they're all iPhones?
Because you can, like, they very clearly see the Apple logo on both the MacBook and the phones.
Or it could have just been there, like, we're not going to bother covering those.
Well, she's taking pictures in the dark of this basement area, and it's like body parts, like bloody body parts. And then she's taken by somebody and gets a syringe to the eyeball.
Yeah.
And this yellow liquid. I don't feel like they ever really explained what the fuck was going on.
No, they did. They absolutely did.
Am I the only one who's confused?
No, you're not
the
only one.
Taking pictures of those bodies in the basement. She gets stabbed, and at that point, you don't know who it is. And then later, when Kathy goes down. She starts doing the same exact thing, taking pictures of all these fucking bodies. And you and then you also connect when Rachel Griffiths, the matron, reveals that Patrick has controlled her. He put together that he used her to kill that nurse so that she couldn't get that info out and stop the experiments, because Patrick needed the doctor to keep him going. And she, you know, she is going to expose the fact that they were experimenting on these patients. And so he made the matron, he controlled her to kill her.
Do you
and
find
she knew that?
Well, like,
wait,
I sort of get that, but like, what were the experimentation part?
Yeah,
what's
why
the
were
yellow
there
liquid
down there?
They were dissecting these bodies.
Dissecting these bodies is believed.
I think they were dissecting these bodies. Yeah, I think they were just whatever he was doing to try and wake these people up. I think after he ended up killing them, you're supposed to be fucking dissect. I don't think he had that kind of clearance. So if that got out, it would be a problem if people saw the pictures of these like fucking torn open corpses and shit and just chopped up body parts all over.
What's great, Kelly, is you keep going into like slow robot voice
and then super fast
and then it speeds up to complete your sentence, and it's really bizarre.
Does any of it make sense?
Yes. Yeah. Like, I get what you're saying. I'm just not sure I got it within the movie.
But I don't think she was taking pictures to get evidence. She was taking pictures so she can see what was, because it was dark down there.
Maybe
because there was no.
Well,
light.
I mean, there's an argument to be made either way, but like, she did say she was going to expose them and contacted someone in the press and everything, and there was the
When did that happen?
When did that happen?
She went in and told the doctor. She says,
"No, the first nurse."
The first nurse. That's
oh, not the. Oh, you're just talking about the first nurse.
Yeah,
first second nurse, same as the first.
I would like. Me and Amy are just confused about the first, the blonde nurse's role in this whole movie.
Well, she was there simply to be a zombie later to be controlled by Patrick, which was a very good scene.
And to let you know that that's how, again, the lady, the matron, is aware of Patrick's abilities, because they show that happening
right
in the flashback.
Yeah, I get that, but I needed a reason why he's killed this blonde nurse in the first place.
You can't have those pictures getting out.
Because then they'd come take him away. Yeah. Is he only powerful because of whatever?
Yeah, the doctor is doing? Giving him his powers. That's why he says he needs the doctor. That's why he doesn't want her to expose
him. Okay. I mean, I was slightly sleepy during this movie, but I mostly paid attention.
Yeah. I just need things laid out for me in a
more
straightforward manner.
Well, you do have a shrunken head.
Ladies and gentlemen, Andy is cosplay today as a shrunken head. Okay. All right, fine.
But, all right, then.
So Patrick's decided he's in love with Kath.
Yes.
And he's like, I'm going to ruin everything else in her life to make her come to me.
You know what? At times I thought it was like a really bad romantic comedy.
While you're sleeping, too.
Because he kept like interfering with all her other like potential lovers.
No,
like,
I totally get that. That's a kind of funny way to look at it.
Yeah.
You know what I like is how they set up the climax of the movie earlier when she goes to the doctor and he's like, this frog, and he holds it up. He's like, alive? She goes, yeah. And then he stabs it in the brain and he goes, dead? She goes, uh-huh. And then he lays the frog down and shocks it and it flies across the room. He's like, involuntary muscle reaction brought on by electrical stimulus. And then the climax of the movie made me laugh so hard when they do the same thing to Patrick and he flies out the window.
That's pretty funny.
There's a lot of flying bodies in this movie.
Yes.
Yes.
It has a soap opera style score to it, kind of.
Oh, I wanted to bring up the score.
Yeah.
I felt like it was pretty. It was so bombastic through all these moments where it was like, why is that? It didn't sound like it was written to match this movie. And I thought it actually would have been a lot stronger without it.
I think the score is what gave it the camp value that really elevated it for me.
Once I kind of realized that it was schlocky, because at first I was just sort of going with it. And then once I realized that it, you know, it had that camp value, then it didn't bother me and it was just funny. But at first I was like, wow, this is wildly out of place here.
I wish they had filmed it with like old soap opera cameras too, kind of like Garth Marenghi's Dark Place.
Yeah.
Or like Dark Shadows.
Or somebody could go back and just remove all the silver bypass that they did on it and then brighten everything so it looked like it was, you know, filmed on a soundstage.
Well, yeah.
Like the music was so like bombastic.
Mr. Bombastic.
The movie had 78 jump scares in it.
Oh God, the jump scares on top of jump scares on top of jump scares.
Some of them were good though.
Yeah, absolutely.
They got watered down because there were so many of them.
It was just funny that like, she would like get touched on the shoulder and she'd be like, ah, and then a cat jump out. She'd be like, oh God. And then she'd sit up in bed and it was all a dream, but it's not. It's a dream within a dream. And someone sits up next to her.
You're just like, whoa. Do you ever see that sketch the Lonely Island did with Ellen Page? And it was basically jump cut after jump cut. And they weren't connected at all.
It was all the mirror gag, wasn't it? Where they close the medicine cabinet and they're behind them.
Now, do you want to know what I thought was happening midpoint through the movie?
Yes.
And I was wrong, but I would have loved for this to have been the case too. I thought that they were none of them actually coma patients, but that he had reanimated bodies and that was what he was working on, but had, could only get them
so far
up to that point of consciousness. And that I accidentally watched the beginning of the original Patrick,
You've never seen it, you should check it out. I think you'd like it a lot.
Yeah. I might go back and watch it, cause I did really like this movie. And, so he, to spoil it again for everybody, he murders his mom and her lover. And so when I was watching this, I thought maybe he looks so good because he was executed and they got the body right away and were able to start their process.
He sent Igor to the gallows.
Yeah. And, I thought that maybe, and that when he came back that way, that he came back with powers a la kind of a flatliner's sort of.
Do you think he sent Rachel Griffiths to the gallows and she dragged him back to the Roget Institute by his big dick?
I think she's just dragging him.
And it's an all in silhouette, like in Frankenstein, where it's just a silhouette of her dragging this body by this giant dick.
But if you can see it, he's all wrapped up in a tarp, except for his dick is poking out of the hole where she's dragging it.
It's like it's a built-in handle. How convenient.
I thought that's what maybe was happening, but it wasn't. But that would be cool though, right?
If we make it again, all we got to do is make a third version.
Yeah.
We could do that.
Anybody
but
got
we keep the giant
million?
Dick though.
Yeah, you got to have the giant.
We're going to make the dick even bigger.
Yeah.
You don't make a third version and go the other way.
Right.
Yeah, in fact, Patrick is just going to be a big dick.
Big penis in a bed.
We brought back his penis. His penis is in a comatose state.
Yeah, he's gonna be a comatose penis.
He's got a vegetative penis. His mind works just fine. That's the porno version.
The doctor comes in and shocks his penis.
Yeah, nothing works until Kath shows up.
And it spits.
I'm gonna stop the doctor. Don't stop the doctor. I'm gonna stop the. Don't stop the doctor.
Don't stop. Don't stop.
So yeah, he's Mr. Telekinesis, and he's like very powerful.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
You said he got his telekinesis powers from the doctor's experiments.
Well, they strengthened it, and I think it's because of what ended up happening with his mom in the bathtub that maybe initially woke up those latent abilities. And then,
see, I didn't get that.
Get it either.
Because
we stupid. I mean,
yeah, I thought the doctor was just experimenting on the body just to see if he could wake people up from a coma or something. I didn't think there was anything necessarily untoward about it.
Well, he didn't know he was giving him he didn't know that Patrick had any abilities. The Tywin Lannister had no clue about any of it.
So his experiments were amplifying his powers?
Yeah.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah, he was pumping all that electricity into his brain that basically kept him going. And so, it increased his abilities, and that's why he needed him to stick around, because for a while at least.
Okay, sure. Here's the thing. I got bogged down by all the other side stories, and maybe that's why I couldn't figure out what was going on in the main story. Because you had all the stuff going on with Kathy and her, ex-husband.
Andy was very invested in the relationship.
They could have combined the doctor love interest and the ex-husband in one character.
Yeah, exactly. They really should have.
Yeah.
And then you had that backstory about Dr. Roche and Rachel
like stealing
Griffin's
brains or something. And
you get this idea of that he's Rachel is his daughter, right?
Right.
Yeah.
And you get this idea that there's this creepy backstory behind that. And that didn't go anywhere either.
I think it was just considered odd that she lived in this place her whole life and that she's never had a real life. She's practically like one of the patients.
Yeah. And she's had to take care of them. And she also is aware of Patrick and has to keep it to herself.
But she mentioned something about her mom dying early, and I thought that was going to lead to something. But it just, all these different threads that just made me confused.
I like the death scene they gave to the doctor, though.
Oh, yeah. That was
great. He's driving his Beamer and he loses control of it. I just like where Patrick telekinetically buckles him back in.
Oh, that was pretty awesome. I also like how, like, for a second, you think, oh, he's just giving him a warning when, like, the car stops.
Yeah.
And then he fucking buckles him back in and, like, slowly pushes him off. That was pretty great.
It does beg the question, like, if he can do all of that, why does he even bother taking over people's bodies? Or did he just elevate, did he just finally get that power at that moment in the story?
I don't know, because like I said at the beginning, he has her murder that nurse, and she knew that, she knew what he was. She said she knew what he was for a while. So I don't know, like, if it's, I mean, I think his power did increase cumulatively. So I don't know if he was able to move people around. That's why I said, why didn't he just have her jerk him off? I mean, make somebody do it if you're that invested. We got to talk about that scene. The reason I keep saying that, listeners, it is really, I think it's both really funny, but also really unsettling and creepy that was what was like, when you would think about like what's motivating a lot of this. So there's a scene where Kath comes back. I think she's by herself at this point, or the
Kath comes back
in the place. Day. And she's walking through one of the rooms with the other coma patients, and it sounds like they start whispering, because now Patrick communicates with her through typing on a computer and on her phone. And now he's starting to make people say what he wants them to say. And these coma patients all start saying, Patrick wants his hand job.
Don't they all sit? Do they sit up?
Yeah.
It's really creepy.
Do you remember Freddy versus Jason? It was one of the better scenes in that movie where they're in the sleep clinic and all of the people who are in the dreaming, like they sit up and they look at her.
Yeah.
It reminded me a lot of that.
Yeah.
Except that was a cool scene. They said Patrick wants his hand job.
But even that, to me, there's just something really unsettling about like him trying to scare her into giving him a handy.
You know what? Like it makes that scene earlier read. It does make it read as if he was controlling her then and she resisted it.
Yeah, maybe.
It makes her character less of a creep.
And I'm not saying that, like, I hadn't even really thought back to that. So that does make sense.
Isn't it funny that he would go for the hand job over something else? He's just like, I just want the hand job nice and dry.
He might not have been able to control, not realize he could do much more than that yet.
He's like, I can only control women up to hand job, hand stuff. I can't get them to do mouth stuff until I get more shock treatment.
That's why he needs the doctor.
That's why he needs a doctor.
What an unfortunate trade-off.
Yeah.
Don't stop the doctor. But I gotta stop. Why do you want me to keep? I gotta let the doctor. Just don't stop him. I'll explain later.
I mean, to get to butt stuff, that's almost too far.
Oh, Patrick.
Too much electricity.
Oh my God, to get, I don't even know how they do that. Like he'd have to have her suspend herself somehow or really get on that dick. I don't know, man. There's logistic problems with that in addition to the mechanics of telekinesis.
Ethical.
God, and ethics. Well, Patrick has no ethics.
Patrick never speaks himself in this movie, but if he did, I'd like to think they would have used the same actor that voiced Patrick Starfish.
Dauber?
Yeah. Is that
Tywin Lannister eating the frog. I wasn't sure what was happening at first.
He ate it?
Yeah.
Patrick made him.
Yeah.
I forgot about that.
Yeah.
Maybe I was making tacos.
You were making tacos by then.
And to be fair to you guys, I literally just watched this. So you being a little fuzzier on it makes, I just watched this movie.
I just watched it like 24 hours ago.
Yeah. I watched it this morning.
Yeah.
Oh. All right. Well, I was trying to help you out. But
it was silly. And I was I was too cozy. I was getting a little drifty.
You got to start watching your movies from the Iron Maiden.
Yeah.
So I have a question. Why was Rachel Griffin's character finally fed up with what he was doing?
With what Patrick was doing or what the doctor was doing?
The doctor.
I don't know.
I think she always, I think she thought it was horrible always. And I think, you know, she was realizing how much, you know, his power was growing. And she was just like, these people, you're doing these awful things to these people. Cause she even hints at other, like I said, this is where like the other, maybe even more torturous experiments where she says, we've both done horrible things and we'll be punished. I think that she's just has been forced to do this, you know, since she was a little girl and never felt okay about it. And now finally Patrick used her to murder another person. And I think at that point she's like, we got to get out of his, because she's basically under his control. She can't. That's, I think, a lot of why she acts the way she does, trying to keep him out of her head and keep him from using her.
Yeah, I mean,
you feel like I'm making all that up.
No,
I feel like,
but I don't know why I just didn't go there.
Yeah, I don't know with Amy. I just don't know why I didn't put everything together.
No. I was too busy waiting
because
for the
I
next.
I am making it all up.
Well, I was too busy waiting for the next jump scare, or the next crazy music cue.
I don't know. It's funny. Usually, you guys like the schlockier stuff more than I do.
Isn't this weird?
And this time, I feel like I like this like in a straightforward way a lot more than you guys did.
I think this is a lot of fun.
Yeah, but I thought there were some good moments. Like, there is some pretty good gore scenes with the hand stuff.
Oh, yeah.
The hand stuff. gory hand stuff scenes.
Like the hand job that never was.
That never was.
We should also explain that Patrick, you find out, had some kind of severe sociopath, you know, some kind of severe lack of emotional understanding, and he's sexually obsessed with his mother as a teenager and ends up electrocuting his mother and her lover, mother and lover, in a bathtub. And then while they're being electrocuted, he sticks his own hands in the water, and they ruled it an attempted suicide, but we're not sure exactly if he was deliberately trying to kill himself or if he just wanted to touch his mom's boobs. I don't know.
I think it was a little of both.
A little of both.
See, I like this scene, though.
It was a great scene.
Mother lover murder.
Mm-hmm. It's an awesome scene. I love that whole backstory. I do think it's silly that they're in a bathtub.
Yeah. But I like it in a campy way, not in a straightforward way.
I liked it, man.
Because there's at one point, they're being electrocuted by this heater. And the dude tries to get out of the tub, but he only gets halfway out, and his ass is just splayed out.
Yeah,
like he's half in the tub, half out, and you see his giant butt crack.
Giant butt crack, right?
And there's a bunch of blood pooling in it.
Yeah, and it was bloody too. You see a giant bloody butt crack.
Giant bloody butt crack was the original title of this film.
Yeah,
it's also a tongue twister.
What?
I said I think they should have kept it.
Oh yeah.
So, yeah, Patrick.
Patrick. All right. Thank you, Iona, for that.
Thank you very much, because honestly, yeah. I think it was a hoot and a half.
I really liked it. I'm going to watch the original now.
Yeah, let me know what you think. I might revisit the original.
You know, I am going to.
Are you now?
These are patients of ours that are maybe communicative or not, but most of them spit. Ernie Perez, thank you for your support. These are our Beelzebubs, our producers of the show. Elise Wallace.
She's getting her hand job.
Yeah, she spits.
And Kelly makes her lay around with no shirt on just so it's easier.
No, she doesn't.
Change her leads.
Oh, damn.
Oof.
He's discussing his wife.
Amanda Galetko.
I love you.
Jeremy.
Yeah, great mind powers.
And Cassie Burmeister.
Get the doctor.
Mark Watts, you are shocking. You guys get it? Watts?
Ooh, 1.1 thousand gigawatts.
Late.
He's going to become telekinetic.
Balake, I hope you had a great birthday.
Yeah. Tree and Alex.
Them's my bitches.
I own a good one. Who chose this week's movie?
Girl, I own a great one.
You own a good choice.
Yeah.
Jeff Lancaster.
I hardly know Caster.
Brannon and Emily in New York City.
Them's my bitches, too.
Adam Ingram. Bill Chandler.
All good dudes.
We missed you this week. I hope you had fun with your family. Monica, welcome to the fold, baby.
She is an earth angel.
Yep. Yeah, girl.
You're a real gem. Blaine Turner. Todd DePompa, I hope you're proud of us making our own pizzas.
Yes, sir.
Represent the Italians there. Sure. Dennis Kennedy.
Oh,
I thought you were gonna go.
Canada,
your lifetimes of wonders for the traveler. Kevin Corpy. It's like the attorney.
Cuter than a corgi.
Attorneys couldn't provide Kevin Corpy, so they had to throw the case out. I don't know. Anyway,
good try.
It's Latin for you. We'll see you guys in a week for feedback.
Yeah, we'll just be doing debris next week. So news, we're gonna feed you feedback, back. And yippity yappities.
Like a baby bird. Chew it up. Spit it back in your mouth.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then we'll figure out what the fuck we're going to do for July.
Bye.
Bye.
Tried reading while jogging, cooking, or even juggling flaming torches? Yeah, doesn't end well. But with audiobooks.com, you can conquer books without the circus act. Dive into over 450,000 titles, including more than 10,000 free ones. Get hooked on a bestseller. find your next obsession, or finally read that classic you've been avoiding since high school. And here's the inside scoop. Sign up today for a free 30-day trial and snag your first three audiobooks on the house. Sign up for your free trial at audiobooks.com/podcastfree today. That's audiobooks.com/podcastfree.